Welcome to the interview chair with Will Alexander, brought to you by Canine Chronicle TV and Dog Show Tips. This week on the chair, we have none other than Johan Becerra from Puerto Rico. So sit back and enjoy a conversation with Johan. I'm sure you'll all enjoy it. Hi, everybody. We are here today with none other than Johan Becerra from Puerto Rico, Albury Judge and Basset Breeder, as well as Norwich Terriers. How are you, Johan?
Great. How about you?
I'm good. It's good to see you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
How is this pandemic treating you?
Well, like everybody else, right? Pretty much secluded at home and taking care of, you know, everything that we can do to try to not get infected, even if I think that eventually we're all gonna get it, but hopefully not at the same time. So, you know, taking care of the mask and being careful and washing hands and just following recommendations, I would say.
Yeah, that's the smartest way. And now you're in Florida right now, aren't you?
Yeah, right now I'm here. Coming back and forth. Home is Puerto Rico, as you know. But during the pandemic, I've been here. I'm here all the time. I'm sorry.
No worries. All right. Let's get right into it. Tell me how old you were and how you got started in our wonderful world of dogs.
Well, you know, I always love dogs. It's that's a passion. I think I was born with it. It's no one else in my family, so I don't come from a pedigree of, you know, dog people or anything. I guess, you know, this craziness comes just with me. And so, you know, I always was interested, and my parents really pretty much support me. They bought me the dogs and everything. But I really started out with my first dog with pedigree when I was just about 15. So I get to buy a Great Dane. And so that was my first breed, yeah. And so, you know, I start working as, I would say, like everybody else, right? As a, just a kennel help and doing everything I can, then start helping handlers, and then I start handling myself pretty quickly. I would say I start handling myself. So I start, you know, handling for other people. First, it was like friends mostly, but then, you know, some clients, and then, you know, I start breeding. So it was, you know, just the way the naturally things went. And so I start breeding Bassets, actually. I do have like the Great Danes leaders, and I have Napoleon Mastiff and Dog Argentinian and Rottweilers, but really my love for the breeds I was showing was Bassets. So then I started, you know, breeding Bassets, and when I started actively breeding, I kind of stopped showing for friends and just start showing for myself. And,
how old were you then? You know, sorry to interrupt.
Like I don't know, around 18, late teens.
Oh, okay, so that
like
all happened 20s. Very fast then. That
yeah, yeah, fast. It went fast, yeah. And then I started studying veterinarian and was working with another handler who was the wife of one of the veterinarians down there that I work with. So, you know, everything goes like really smoothly.
Blending. Any of these handlers we would know?
I don't know. Mireya Ortiz was the handler at the time. I don't know if you
recognize that name, yeah?
Yeah. And it was in Venezuela, because I'm Venezuelan, as you know. So that was back in Venezuela. So a long time ago, I don't know, you know, even the people are, you know, they were all together. It was like a big family by the time. But I wouldn't, I don't know. I don't think you would recognize names, though. Okay. So
how did
after
you get
that,
involved in, how did you get involved in Bassets then? Who
it was a friend of mine, Gustavo, that he has a Basset hound. And then, you know, I was pretty much impressed with those puppies. I had a litter of puppies, and I said, gosh, this is the most beautiful thing I ever seen. You know, they were so funny. They clownish. They, you know, fall over and, you know, those faces. So I just fall in love. And so, you know, my Bassets weren't really exactly what you would call a Basset. You know, they were really not good Bassets. Let's put it that way. Just Bassets. More like pet quality, yes. And then a friend of mine, Jenny Candamo, which, you know, she has Goldens. For many, many years, she bought me, bring me from the state my first Basset Hound that was really a Basset Hound. So you know, we start breeding with that dog, and then
after
it was Florida, it was a Bonaparte dog.
Okay.
And that dog happened to live with a friend of hers. So, you know, she introduced herself to me and at a show and said, listen, I have a friend who had a Basset. Do you want a Basset? Because I know you have these ones. Another, yeah, I know. So she, you know, and we've been friends since. Actually, I saw her not more than a month ago. And, you know, we're still really close friends. And she was very, very successful golden retriever breeder. And so, you know, we start, you know, going together to shows and everything. And after a while, you know, I finished my career and start working. And then I buy my first Basset from Sandra Campbell, which is the Basset I have from since then, like 30 plus years ago.
And we I don't want to go that fast. I want to find out.
Well, you know, time flies, I tell you. Time does fly. It really goes fast.
But, I don't want the Coles Notes version, Johan. I want the whole thing.
Well, I don't know if we have that much time. Maybe more to go over. But yeah, well, you know, it was a combination of things. I was handling them. I started applying for my judging license. At the time in Venezuela, you know, requirements change, right? So, but at that time, you need to have like certain things. I don't remember all, but you know, you need to work for you know, be like, I would say that in, it's like a secretary of a show and, you know, work in the ring and then have like 20 plus years of breeding or actively showing dogs. So, you know, there were like a, you know, few requirements you have to meet.
So how old were you when you first started applying then?
I was maybe 98, I would say, you know, 90.
You were 98 years old?
No, that was in 1998, 1996. I don't know how old was. I'm 54 now. So you just go back. And I don't know. But in my 20s, I would say my 20s, early 30s, maybe, you know. I'm really bad with dates.
You
know,
me too.
That's my fault. My
dates are dog shows.
So. Yeah. So, but I would say yes. I would say like late 20s, early 30s when I was, you know, starting applying for my license. And it goes pretty quick. It wasn't like, you know, like really hard to get. You just need, we don't have all the breeds in Venezuela. We just have few. And then you pretty much apply per groups, you know, at a time. And then you needed to do like a national dog shows. 2 or 3 years, you know, all the groups, and then, you know, whenever someone international invite you, then you apply for being an international judge, and then you can do CACIPs and things like that.
Yeah.
So it didn't take like a really long time or anything. It was pretty quick, I would say, you know, years. But I can't really tell you how. My fault. I shouldn't be prepared. But
did you start with hounds then?
Well, pretty much you pick, you know, we have the 7 groups at the time, even if it was FCI. And then you just pick, you know, a couple groups and start doing it because I handle, you know, other breeds as well. So I would say, yeah, but not just one group at a time, but like multiple groups. So I don't remember the order. I'm sorry, Will. I really should. but I would guess that hounds was definitely first. But hounds were together like the group 3, 2, 6, 4, and 9, you know, the older hound and 10, all the hound groups that are pretty much 3, they were together at the time. So we call them hair hounds. It was like a sporting, there was like feather hunt group, and then the hair hunt group, which was the hound, something like that. It was a pretty plain translation of what it was.
So when did you ever show dogs in America at all before you became a judge?
No, actually, no.
So your first time in America was probably judging then? So.
Well, not really, because, you know, I did show dogs to Puerto Rico, you know, even I was living in Venezuela, but that was more FCI shows. So yes, I would say that you're right. I never show dogs here in the U.S. Mm-mm. No, you're right. I started really actively showing dogs here, and I was already an old breed judge. So yeah.
When was your first assignment in America?
In America, it was Puerto Rico.
Pardon me?
It was in Puerto Rico. Okay. Puerto Rico does those AKC shows. So it was in Puerto Rico. The local club invited me to do their show. So that was my first time. That was 2003, I think. I think that's what it was. And I was living in Puerto Rico already when they invited me to. I moved to Puerto Rico in 2002. And then they invited me the very next year or so. So then I started there, and then I think it was Miami shows or something like that. Mm-hmm. And but after that, you know, we can do just eight calendar, eight dog shows days per year. So yeah, most like that's what's been happening. Yeah, like Canadians. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, so that was my first shows, and I would say that Canada was pretty much up there too, like 2004, 2003, or something like that.
Yeah. Seems like I've known you longer than that.
Yeah, each other. Well, I'm bad with time, so yeah. I have the same feeling.
So when you were judging your first shows in America, you were in Puerto Rico, and do you have any memorable shows that you've done in the States right now that come to mind? I know you judged at Orlando. I've seen you there.
Well, actually, no. This year going to be my first Orlando.
First time. Oh, yeah. I've seen you there showing. That's what
You see me there showing. Exactly. You're right. Yeah, showing a couple of times. But judging, this will be my first time. And well, you know, every show has something very unique, right? And that I remember. There are special shows, of course. Like when I did the Bassett Nationals, that was like, you know, like a biggie for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to do that is the members, the one that vote for you. So that was pretty special, right? It was after 25 years, you know, being a club member, that they picked me to do their national, the breed. So, you know, that was special. And of course, the Westminster a couple of years ago, it was really pretty special too. But every show has some kind of magic always, at least for me. And, you know, I really looking forward any assignment, and because I really love to do it, you know that. So every show has its own uniqueness, I would say. So I there's, of course, more magical ones, right? Like the Westminster, like, you know, shows you always dream about, and you know, shows you always, you know, things that would never happen or something like that. So that's magical, of course. But even if it's a small show, just the, you know, what I feel when I find a dog that I really, really love, it's enough for me to make it, you know, want me to do it again and again. And so that's kind of, it's really hard to say like a show that, because every time I would say I have a really pretty wonderful memory of. So
good. Mm-hmm. Who would you consider your mentors in the sport then?
Many people has helped me, many. And you know, I talk with many people, and even sometimes people don't even know they're mentoring me.
Oh, exactly.
And they are, because they're learning a lot. And every time I had the opportunity, even just sitting ringside and talking with anybody at the ringside, is a mentoring experience, right? So of course, for Bassetts, I would say Sandra Campbell, of course, right? It's always, it's my mom here, and she's always been anything but great, you know, but great. She shared all her knowledge, her dogs, everything she has with me, and I can be only thankful for. And in the same group is Carol O'Brien, and, you know, many other people that I don't really want to, like, pick up, because, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but tons of people have helped me and to understand breeds individually, and then understand movements within the breeds, understand the standards, you know, and then gathering my own interpretation of each one, right? Because every standard gives you that room of flexibility that you can, you know, put yourself some things which make it unique and at the same time very rewarding when you get it. So yeah, I can name a million people, even you know that. I ask you a couple times at the shows when they're finished, you know, about a breed and another one, and that helps me growing and understanding.
Well, I think we all I'll do that in this sport. I think we're always a student in this sport. We're always learning something. So do you, can you tell me something about your dogs? I've only seen pictures. And the one I saw last year in Florida, I guess. Let me know some of your favorite dogs that you've owned or bred. I know you also have the Norwich, so.
Yeah, I do have Norwiches, and Norwiches is more like a new experience. It's been less than 10 years with the Norwiches, and you know, and I go with that. I have Kathy Mines, and you know, she has the Goldens and the Norwiches. Talking about mentoring, you know, with the Labradors and the Norwiches, you know, their long sessions.
Oh, for sure, Kathy's been up here for years. So.
Yeah, and she's anything but wonderful, right? And she teaches you everything, and you know. When I had my first Norwich, I didn't even knew how to do anything, right? And, you know, since the way you put your hand and what to do and where to do it, she teach me everything about that and how to do them. And I would say that I'm still, you know, like 10%. but at least they look like it, right? And they're ready. You can show them and people like them. So I'm working on that. And so dogs that I love. And as I said, Bassett's, it's always been my passion, and I think these are very unique. Well, you show them too, so you know it's very unique breed to show. It's challenging. It's not easy. I'm saying any breed is easy because every breed has its own particularities. But being the way the buses are, there's no an easy way that you can look how they look, actually, right? So you just have to make up your mind and thinking that you got it right. And practice and practice and practice until you got it right.
The sentiments, I've shown a few of them, and unless you really can stand back and look at them, it's hard to get a feel for some of them. So
yeah, because it's too much body, no legs. So you know, pretty much.
I was always impressed when I watched Brian Martin show them, because he would just go boom when they were up there. You know,
great. Brian Martin does it like amazing, and there's a lot of things I learned from him and from Nancy through the years. And you're talking about people that teach you, you know, Doug Holloway was like a master.
Oh, Dougie was fabulous at Bass Hounds. Yeah,
he has Sandra's Bassets before, so it was all Sandra Campbell Bassets, and he's always been anything but wonderful too. You know, it's because it's a breed you really need to know and how to you know bring it up.
How did you meet Dougie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Many, many years ago. Love him.
How did you meet him, though? Tell me how you met Dougie.
Because he was, you know, he used to show Sandra's dogs, Sandra Campbell's, even before I met her for many, many years. Many, many famous Sandra's dogs were shown by Dougie. And so I always admired him. You know, it was like the guy.
Me too. I was the same way with Dougie.
Yeah. So, you know, when you finally get to meet him, it was like, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that?
We won't tell them this.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I say, you know, I know this rear doesn't look like that. How do you make it look like that? You know, because I know the dog, and you know, so and I get the luxury to actually compete with him in a ring at a world show in Puerto Rico, and he has a beautiful bishop hand I had, and I had a beautiful dog, Sandra's too. And I love competing. I really do. I'm really very competitive. And I compete with him in those shows. It was like wonderful, like great experience. Like I love to compete with Brian too. You know, it's competing is like, to me, it's like, you know, make it really exciting. And I don't care, you know, at the end of the, you know, I walk out the ring and I can hug you forever, but in the ring, I'm really competitive. And he was anything but great. Always. He is actually.
Yeah.
A great guy.
I saw him last January when I was in Portland.
Gosh, he's wonderful. He really is.
The Michael Jordan. We used to call him the Michael Jordan of Basset Hounds.
And he is, you know, he can do magic. And I always say, you know, it's not fair because your hands are like this bigger than mine, so you can do much more than I can. You know, I don't have small hands, but yours, you know, so he can. And I think he can take a Doberman and win the Basset breed if he wants, you know. And then the Doberman will look like a Basset and actually win with that dog. He was great. He is
great, yeah.
And so shareable, right? He takes you everything. He takes the time. It doesn't really matter how busy he is. He takes the time to, you know, tell you hello and hug you and make you feel special. And I think that's magic right there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a great guy. Really enjoyed him. Over the years, you've judged a lot of dogs. Do you have some that stick out in your head that you refer to once in a while?
But I would say you had to go like by breeds, right?
Oh, yeah,
So
for sure.
yes,
As long as they're not still showing, you can tell me who they are.
well, no, I'm not. I was thinking more dog in the past, and there are dogs that has that special thing, right? And like I had a dog that was, his name was Higgin, and he was always up. It was so amazing that it doesn't really matter if it was hot or humid or rainy or snow. It doesn't really matter, that dog was always 200%. So that was always a pleasure, right? Because that dog would never let you down, no
So
matter
that's the
what.
dog you own and we're showing
Yeah,
yourself.
I own and show and actually did pretty many, many besting shows with that dog. So
Oh, good.
the dog was special. And dogs that I judge, there are many to say, but those dogs that sometimes you kind of being lucky and then you discover them kind of thing,
Yeah.
right? Like because sometimes you gave a besting show or something or a big win in the breed level. And then you all kind of say, yeah, this is like the 200 million besting shows of the dogs. And no, I didn't discover anybody. I'm so happy. This is like 300, 3,000. And so, okay. But when you happen to find a dog from the classics, right? And or just a young dog, and then you put it up, and then you follow. Sometimes you don't even follow, but sometimes you get the luxury of following and do see tons of winning on that dog. Then the interpretation of the standard I did was pretty accurate, evidently. So that's always regarded.
Yeah, but are there certain dogs, like I know when I'm thinking of certain breeds, I have certain dogs that pop into my head that I don't know if I refer to, but it's almost like a mind's eye, like it's so if I like Irish Setters, I have certain dogs in my head that I refer to when I look at Irish Setters. I want to, yeah, of course, you're not going to find that exact dog. Sometimes you find better things on certain dogs, but I just wondering if you have that library in your head that you refer to.
Well, I don't have the library, but I'm very visual. I am visual, so yeah. But it's I wouldn't point any specific one because it's as I said, it happened every time. It's like I don't know how to really describe it. It's like a feeling. It's something that it doesn't really matter if you have to go through 3,000. If you find one, then you have the energy to go through 3,000 again because it's kind of give you the shield, right? It's
Oh, yeah, it's exciting.
So some dogs is like, oh my God, it's like it's unreal. Is that is so you think it's let's see, let's think about in the past, because of course the new ones you had it in your mind. Well, let's say in Canada, right? The first time I was just there, I saw a Newfoundland that Christina had. It
Yeah.
was 2004, maybe 2003 or something. And that dog was for me like wow. It was like really it does exist. So whoever wrote the standard a thousand millions years ago, I don't know who he was, but the letter, the words I read, it has to be that, right? So my interpretation is exactly that. So either that guy got it right, or I read it right, or that person did it right, or we all were wrong. But it's like, and then you see it, and then I always consider like a social honor that people, groom their dogs and prepare just for me to go over. That's like okay. So I feel so honored. And then when you go down to it, and then I have eyes here. So I goes over and touch and it's like, gosh, I really want to cry because this is too good. Like, so that dog that time, I think I was to say some moons ago, but I think it was at Viven that was a show. And so I think I did first, and I the dog went best of, and he did it too, and he put it up too. And it was like those dogs that Newfoundland that always keep in your mind. So it's not that I remember any specific detail about the dog. It was because I remember more like the feeling the dog gives me than anything. So the what I felt when I saw it, it's like that kind of uniqueness that dog had at the time, at least, you know, that I remember. And there was a Harrier in California that really was like, but a Dane that I did there too, that was like amazing. And, you know, so there are many breeds and many dogs that really has impressed me through the years, and that I've been lucky enough to have the luxury to actually go over and see that what I see is what I feel. And then when it moves, it's just proof that what, you know, whatever I touch was there and he used it or she used it, or, you know, so that makes it unique. But, you know, it's in my mind, they're the recent ones, right? So, and I don't want to point that out, but those dogs are always special because it makes you like, wow, like really wow.
You got to like those wow moments. Yeah. Like even as a handler, I have those wow moments. I'll be sitting at a ringside and watching a dog and even a youngster, I see it and think, oh my, that's a wow moment. That dog could really make something of themselves, you know?
Yeah. You see, so that's a special. Yeah. So that's what I feel. That's what I feel. And then, you know, it's always like, then, you know, the good things you see about it, they're so good that you just kind of maybe, you know, I don't see anything else. It's just like that much. And sometimes I even see it at the breed level. I usually see it at breed, and it goes, I say, gosh, now I have to pick the second, third, or fourth, because this is like, you know, like by far my first in anything, right? So and those moments are really, that's what I'm doing for it. I think it's self, but you know what I feel is so great that I want to do it again and again until I find it.
No, those times are exciting. It's like I when I first saw Miss Pia, I went to ringside to watch another dog, and the young girl that owned Pia, Peyton, her name was Peyton at that time, that's a real name, and I saw her in the junior puppy bitch class. And I couldn't stop looking at her. There was like 25 beagles, and I kept looking. And she didn't win. She didn't even go reserve winner's bitch. I just couldn't stop looking at her. I stopped, and I took pictures to the point I thought I was scaring the young girl showing the bitch. And then next day, her parents showed up in my setup, and I thought for sure they were going to give me hell for harassing their dog. But no, they asked me if I would consider showing her.
Yeah, that's it. That's the special. That's exactly the feeling, that it doesn't really matter, you know, what they do with other people. It's just what you see that makes it so unique that it's,
sure,
it's worth it. It's just worth it. It's just, you know, then you want to do it again and again, because it's, that's what you want to feel. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, do you ever worry? Like I'll find myself, I'll put my all behind a certain dog, and it doesn't seem to pay off, or not pay off. It doesn't seem to do as well as I thought it would do. Do you ever second guess yourself then, and when that happens at a dog show, like you put a dog up, you think, oh, that's a really good dog, and no one else seems to find it? Like I try not to, as a handler, if I find this dog, I'm put my all into it, and no one seems to find it, I try not to second guess myself. I try to see, there's gotta be a reason why I chose this dog. And does that ever go through your mind as a judge as well? Like, you ever driving home or traveling home thinking, why did I do that? Or should I have done that? Or,
well, you know, it used to happen at the beginning, I would say, right? That like you know, you put a dog, and then, you know, that dog doesn't do well the day after or something. And then you said, did I miss something, or do I over point a quality and then miss mm-hmm. one important thing? But then immediately I say, you know, what I see is what I see in that very moment. And it's just a moment. So what you see with the same dog 2 minutes later could be totally different than what I see.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's very subjective.
Yeah. And then the dogs just act different. They do, right? So sometimes they you know, pull themselves together, and something in the bone structure just click right. And when they stack, you go over, and it's just perfection. And then the next day you're stacking up, and when you go over, it's not. It's straighter maybe in the angles, or top line is not as it was. So, or the floor wasn't right, you know. So there's so many things that can happen. And then they move. When they move, you know, they can go through as beautiful, and then the next day they do kind of crazy stuff. And then, well, you know, that's not what I saw. you know, what I saw was so. So then I stopped second guessing myself, but always learn. So if that happened, I really want to take the time to see, well, let me see if I still like what I like, or should I? And you know, and I do talk a lot with the other judges, you know, about the dogs, and I think that's a luxury we have to learn mm-hmm. more experience about, you know, and I talk with everybody, all the judges or the breeders, and just, you know, trying to understand better, because it's a learning process. So I said, well, you know, I still do what I want to do, and I still do what I feel it was right and what I felt it was right at the moment. But then I can start also looking for different things, mm-hmm. right? So things that it doesn't really, I don't, or maybe I pay too much attention to a detail that it wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, there's no question of, I find that certain judges have things that they rely on. And when I ask them about that later on, they'll say, well, they bred, let's say, Whippets, and they could never achieve that in their own. So whenever they found it, they'd like to reward it because they knew how difficult it was to achieve.
Exactly. And, so if that's the reason, there's nothing you can do about it. But then sometimes when I'm judging, I'm trying to really separate, like, if I'm buying or if I'm judging, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm judging, it's not like I'm not buying for me. I had to separate it, because if I'm buying it for me, I might forget or forgive something, because I know that that's easy to overcome with time or some things like that when you're breeding. But when you're judging, I don't do that. So, you know, I'm doing that very moment. So if that puppy is 6 months old, but for me, it was, I put it up in a sec. You know me doing that. I don't care if that line of dog will get destroyed in 6 months, and, you know, from now
you're
on.
You're not judging it 6 months later. You're
but if I'm buying, it would be different, right?
Right, exactly.
So I'm always try to do like I'm judging, and judging is different. So when I'm judging even Basset Hounds, I don't go with what I breed. I go with what my interpretation of the standard is and how that dog fit in that very moment. Because if not, I would go with my type or things that is not fair. Because even if I know I breed the most beautiful type that I do ever, but that wouldn't be fair with other breeders, that there's just a different interpretation, but that's nothing wrong with it. It's just different, but, you know, but still, you know, follows the standard. So I wouldn't be fair, because I would do, you know, of course, prettier, but not necessarily right. So that's the difference between when I'm judging or buying or looking for something to breed. It's totally, totally different. And the dogs can be like in the opposite side of the spectrum because of that.
Yeah, you're looking for virtues of your breed. So obviously, mm-hmm. that's how you're going to go. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm the same way. Sometimes I would get caught up and actually would choose too pretty a dog and not think about the rest of it. You know, they go, well, look how beautiful it stands there. You know?
But, exactly. It happened. It just happened. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. We all learn. It's all subjective. It's like canine figure skating. So.
It's exactly right. Yeah. It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So anything, you have any youngsters coming up that you're excited about?
Well, you know, now with the pandemic, we haven't been showing a lot, but I do have a couple, there are two really pretty 7-8 month old puppy bitches that I like. But with Basses, you never know up until like they're like a year and a half, because, you know, they can go like perfect in an 11 month, just go. So I try not to get excited up until they're really old enough. But other than that, we have puppies now that they're 5 weeks old, 6 weeks old, and they're too little to know. And I try not to, you know, some people you hear like, oh, I like him since he was born. Well, with Basset, it's really tough. It's normally not the bigger one, not the smaller one, more like the medium ones are the one that really has it. And then, you know, you have to go by the day up until they finish maturing, because everything can change. And you have to kind of hit everything you want to hit in the process, and we're really strict. We don't keep, like, you know, some people keep things, well, I keep that for blood. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that I don't do it. Either it's beautiful to show and to breed, or maybe someone can do a beautiful show career and breed her. But if we're going to keep her or keep him, it's because it's beautiful to show, because it has the genetics to back him or back her, and then we breed her. Because, you know, they're big dogs, so we can't keep, like, you know, like 20 or 40. We have to keep the ones we like. So these puppies that I have that actually are, you know, some Tuffield dogs from Claudia Orlandi gave us a really pretty bitch that I finished. And we bred her with one of our dogs. And those puppies, those two puppy bitches, we like. We just kept those two bitches. And but it's too soon. It's 7 months, so we don't know. So far, they're promising.
So do you have them there with you in Florida right now then?
No, they're in South Carolina with Sandra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's here, it's more like I don't have the space to really here. And I used to have it in Puerto Rico, but after the hurricane, you know, everything has been moving. I think I move a lot. I think you don't know anybody that moves more than me. I can be in a new house the next day. I'm ready. I like two boxes. That's all.
That's a challenge too, though, you know.
So, but no, we have those two. And those puppies are, you know, they look fine. They're out of a bitch that I really like. That actually is funny because she's, you know, we're being doing winner's bitch and best of winner at the Basset Nationals, like with the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. And now we have puppies out of her. Wow. So we want to see if we, you know, got something excited out of her, because it will be the fourth time if we make it, right? So that's exciting, but they're just 6 weeks, so you never know.
Have you ever had any, either showing or judging, any funny experiences that stand out in your head?
Oh yeah, one that is really, like, for me was hilarious. It was actually Brian Martin.
Oh yeah.
That he did. I was doing a specialty in Louisiana, and they had, like, I don't know how many champions, but it was a pretty good class. It was, I would say, 2016 in the best breed line, and he has the first dog in line, and he always for years complained that I never put enough. I always put Nancy up. But I never put in up. And he always show under me and say, that's, you know, right, I do the dog. Said, no, you always put Nancy up and never me. It doesn't really matter what she has.
I can hear
it up. Yeah, right. And you never put me up. I said, oh gosh, stop it, right? So, but anyway, so he had that dog, the first dog in line, a black dog at the time, black headed dog. And, you know, he entered the dog and, you know, I ride around and did the first one on the round, and he was the first one. And he has this hand with fake nails, red fake nails, like Nancy's, you know, she has like big nails.
Yes.
And he has like these big red fake nails on, you know, hairy hands that he has. it was gross. And I said, are you going to put me up now? Like, this is the more closer I can get to Nancy's. I actually start crying because, you know, I said, okay. I want to laugh out, right? Because he didn't win anyway, but it was the best moment I had ever. You know, like, people outside were mortified. I say, what's Brian tell Johan? Because, you know, I couldn't judge the dog. I couldn't get over the hand with, you know, that black with the long nails. I had a picture. I will show you next time. See, it was the best moment I remember, because it was so, I had to go to the, you know, do my table and just see it and say, okay, come. It was too much. It really was too much.
You put Nancy up?
Yeah. No, he, you know, actually, first time he did the sweepstakes at the National, he did pull me off.
No.
He gave me best in sweeps and best opposite in sweeps. He gave me both. Oh, and then he said, you see, I do put you up. I said, oh my God. After 30 years, I don't know how many years, you're never going to let it go. You're not even showing anymore. So, no, you never say, oh God, it's never about the dogs. I mean, about the people, it's always about the dogs. So, anyway, so, but that was hilarious, I think.
That's good. What advice would you give judges if they came to you, like up and coming judges, and they were asking you about getting into judging, what kind of advice could you give them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, always study like a lot, like crazy, like, you know, every day, you, if you can, just a couple minutes, read a standard and try to visualize it and see pictures. I'm really visual, so seeing pictures helps me a lot, or videos. And talk with a lot of people, you know, don't get just one advice on any breed, because it might be a little biased sometimes, I found. So, you know, sometimes they go, oh, this is the best dog I ever had. Look at that head. And that's the most important thing in that breed, right? Okay. So next 2 years after, they had a dog with a beautiful body, but not such a beautiful head. And then, well, you know, you don't move with the head. This is a breed that's supposed to be, and this is the best dog I ever had. Okay. So 2 years later, well, so, you know, just, you know, some people guess it. I don't think they mean it. Yeah. I think they, you know, just get excited for it.
They probably believe it at the moment.
Yeah, sure. I think so too. So just, you know, listen to different opinions, and don't, as you said, don't second guess. I think, you know, you just have to go with what you understand and you feel, and go for it. And then if you don't do it right, that it might happen. Not to me, but it might happen. No, I'm kidding. Happened to all of us, I guess. Just understand what you miss, you know, just what you miss, or what you overemphasize that you shouldn't, or, you know, or what the standard said that maybe it's not right. Like if you read the Bassett standard, they always said for parallel planes that I never ever seen in my life, a parallel plane. But it's in the standard. So if a judge come and you know, and said, well, you know, none of these dogs has a parallel plane, he was right. He is right, but he never gonna find it, mm-hmm. right? So because, you know, some people say, well, it's almost parallel. Well, I don't think that exists. You can be almost pregnant. You know, parallel is parallel, right? So yeah. That would never touch. That's parallel. You almost parallel. It's for me. It can happen. So well, that was close. No, okay. You know, but so just understand, you know, that some things in the standard are written down, but doesn't mean that you have to give it a lot of weight when you judge it, right? And then, you know, some people goes too much into the details, and I think that's good when you're buying, not where you're judging. Right. Yeah. So when you're judging, it has to be more about the overall. And it has to be because no one is perfect. I wouldn't say an advice because I'm way too young to give advices to anybody, but that's the way. And then enjoy it and do it only if you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, or if you have problems with what people think about you or things like that, you just don't do it, because everybody will be judging you. You're judging dogs, everybody will be judging you, no matter what. Yep. And if I put Will up, it's because it's Will. If I didn't pull you up, it's because it's Will. So, you know, you never win. You actually never win. If I pull a Latin guy up, because they're Latin. If I didn't put him up, because they're Latin, he's never going to say, you know.
It's true, isn't it? It's very true.
You never win. And everybody, it's watching you. No, they don't see the dogs. I mean, they already seen the dogs a million times. So they've seen you, you know what you're doing. Are you consistent? And so you're judging you. So if you can take that pressure, just don't do it, because it's not going to be a great experience.
You're not going to enjoy yourself. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's about judging what you're doing.
So it's kind of selfish, but I do it because I really enjoy it. More than anything else. Yeah.
That should be the reason.
And I really think it's such an honor that I can actually go over the dogs I've seen in other occasions. And then I can really go over and say, well, I think all these people is crazy. I don't see what I think. Gosh, they're all right. Just like me, you said, and something like that, right? So that's what I would say. It's hard to say, and everybody's different, and that's okay too, because that makes it, you know, winnings and losings and different opinions.
Oh, for sure. If the same dog won every time, you know, no one would want to come back. So
exactly.
I have one last question for you, Johan.
Please, one.
If you could meet the 20-year-old Johan now, is there any advice you'd give him?
Oh. Any.
dog related.
No, oh my God. Like, no. This is like another full hour of.
we'll have a different show for that one.
Yeah. That's too wide. That would be too much. I would say that the only thing I would say to myself, like 30 plus years ago, is like not everything is black and white. You know, when I tend to be more like either you are or you're not, like, you know, like I told you, like parallel or not parallel, like, you know, like things like that. Either so trying to navigate on the middle of things, I would say that it would be easier for me many, many times if I don't stick too much in something or too strong in something, let's put it. So yeah, I would say that. Not everything is black and white. And that I tend to think about it anyways, but you know, I try not to be too much, right? Like, you know, some people at the time bring me dogs to evaluate or something, and it was, let's open the door and let all those dogs go. You know, this is hopeless. You know, you're never gonna get it right. Like, and now I understand that everything has its own beauty, and everything deserves a different appreciation, and everything has virtues, and all the dogs have virtues to look at it. So it's not like, you know, like this black and white thing that I tend to be.
Yeah, that's good advice. So, well, thank you so much, Yuan. It was great to see you. And I.
Oh, great to see you too. I'm looking forward to see you in Orlando.
Well, I hope so. Let's touch wood that everything goes well and we get to see everybody there and have some fun.
So, we'll do.
Judging there. Do you remember?
I'm doing some Sandhound breeds. I do Bassets finally, because, you know, many people, when I say Bassets, Bassets, you see, yeah, that's like, that's my breed. Bassets, really? I said, gosh, yeah. They never put me with Bassets, I don't know why, but I'm doing Bassets and PBGBs and, you know, fawn breeds and like 6 or 7 breeds, and I'm doing the non-sporting owner handler group, and I'm doing the miscellaneous group.
Okay, good.
So yeah, it's gonna be exciting. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, me too. I don't know. Like I said, let's keep our fingers crossed, everything goes well, and we get to see everybody. So
exactly.
All right.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Really, you know, means a lot that you took the time and called me for this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was great to see you. You're one of our favorite people up here. There's no question. We love seeing you show up on a panel. Yeah, we always have fun.
Everybody. Yeah.
Always have fun. That's the main idea. It's fun to watch judges that love what they do. So
yeah, I do.
All right.
Well, okay. Have a great day.
You too. You take care of yourself. We'll see you soon.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Johan. That was a wonderful interview. It was good to see you. You look great as always. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. And if you need to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at dogshowtips@gmail.com. Don't forget to press the like, share, and subscribe button for all you YouTube watchers. And if you just want to find out what's happening in Will's world, go to willalexander.net. All right. Safe drive, everybody. Talk to you soon.